the ones that you really want are going to be expensive. The ones that have built the reputation, the credibility, and the trust, and the, you know, the work product, right, that you can point to. Those are the people that keep getting the work and they keep raising the prices.
Hey, welcome back to the show. And today I'm so excited to have Dave Castro on because, well, I'm just going to let him tell you why. He's an amazing guest. Dave, tell us why you are so amazing. What's going on? Who are you and what do you do?
I think I'm pretty all right. So I have been a serial entrepreneur now for pushing a decade, almost not quite a decade now.
Nice.
And nice. But I am a dad of five daughters and I have a wide, plethora of things that I do. I'm artist, illustrating a children's book. I do love social it. Latin dance. It's like salsa and stuff. I play guitar.
Wow.
Ride a motorcycle. Also for leisure. I do a bunch of.
I love it.
Do a bunch of different stuff. I don't have enough time to do all the things that I want to do, and improve in all the things I want to do. Right. I just enjoy all these things. I'm learning stock trading now, and that's nice. Really fun. So, being focused.
Only play with a fraction of your budget, would you? Until you get really good.
Yeah,
we don't want to see you on the side of the road.
That's right.
That's awesome. Well, Dave, tell us about Icebreaker.
Yes.
I mean, you've got this really cool company that I just absolutely love because it is totally up my alley. And I think it's up the alley of a lot of people listening to the show. Who do you set out to serve with Icebreaker? What does it do?
Yeah, I love that, Todd. It's something that is really mission for me. It's, you know, I was talking to somebody on a podcast the other day, and we were talking about how we are the people that are best suited to serve the previous version of ourselves or other people that are like us or were like us. And I used
totally
to
agree.
Be, yeah. Well, you know, I grew up going to a bunch of different churches, schools. We lived in different places. And so I learned the importance of connecting quickly and the value of in-person connections. So fast forward,
gotcha.
One of my, you know, new entrepreneurial ventures is a connection utility. And this connection utility is all about how do I maximize the impact of the context that I'm in. So when you go into a networking environment, when you go into an environment where there's a lot of people and you're
right.
you're connecting with people, there is usually a reason that you're there. If you're there at a conference, it's a topical, and perhaps you're looking for other people that will help you, you know, move your company forward, or a client.
Right.
If it's potentially it's you're looking for somebody to hire. But with Icebreaker, what Icebreaker allows you to do is to go into that event and be notified when your ideal connection is nearby, which means that
wow.
you can walk in and know that you're going to get ROI every time versus kind of the chaotic madness of having as many conversations as possible, going home exhausted, the timer runs out,
yes.
right? The last grain of sand falls. Everybody goes home,
right?
And you're like, okay, I've got like five people I got to follow up. Maybe one or two might be good. What?
Right.
How valuable was that for me? Whereas with Icebreaker, you go
right.
in and you know, boom, who in that room is your ideal connection? Prioritize those conversations. You're going to find more because you're going to prioritize who they are. You're going to know who they are, and then you'll relax and have conversations with everybody else.
Yeah, I don't think there's anyone listening to this who doesn't have this frustration of going to an event, a trade show, whatever, and walking away thinking, okay, I totally hung out with the wrong group. None of those people are going to convert to a help to my business or a client for my business. What was I doing there? Why did I just do that? So how does it work? I mean, I'm assuming this is something that the event organizer implements, or is this something that the attendee implements or engages with? Like how does it all work, and how do I know who's with me?
Yeah.
How do I know who's in the same room as me?
So it's a consumer-based app, And my vision for it is that it's a consumer app that attendees use and event hosts borrow. So I am trying to make this thing more and more pithy, powerful, and valuable for the individual users. It's got a digital business card. It can connect with folks without knowing who they are. As long as you turn the app on, if you're an Icebreaker user, other Icebreaker users will turn the app on. Within eyeball distance, they'll find each other. So it doesn't matter what context you're at, church, you're at, you know, the football game with your at your kid's high school, or you're at a conference.
Awesome.
Now the event hosts, when they say, hey, we're using Icebreaker for our event, now the event host can put like an agenda. The event host can add, you know, sponsor things in there, but it becomes a really valuable tool for event hosts, but the attendees benefit significantly, you know, because.
Okay. So it's a membership thing, and people are going to sign up because they want to connect with people everywhere they go, obviously. But how does that interface with the hosts? Because I know that I personally have talked with a lot of hosts about their events, and I've participated as a speaker, things like that. Like, what's motivating them to want to use it, and what does that look like from the event hosting side of things?
So one of the ways that this becomes valuable for the event hosts is that it definitely increases the engagement of your attendees. It enables the attendees to get what they came for. Hosts are building, hosts are the super connectors, right? They're bringing everybody together around a theme and they're bringing content. That content, people look at it, they know it, they're familiar with it. They've already seen the YouTubes, they've read the books and so forth. They know the person speaking, perhaps. They don't go to meet that speaker and they don't go to necessarily get new content. Right. They're going to find other people.
Right.
And then within that tribe of people, ideal connections in there. So hosts, when they say use Icebreaker or we're using Icebreaker, they are maximizing that expected return on investment for their attendees. They're making sure that those attendees get that. And then also your sponsors are able to put like their banner in there where these people's eyeballs are, because that's their priority. And the sponsors get a lot more value out of it, where there's a call to, you know, action button they click and buy versus looking at a sheet somewhere hanging up with their logo on it.
Love it. Love it. Now, if you're listening to this and you have used Icebreaker, I would love to have you comment below whether it was a good experience, bad experience, what was awesome about it. What would you suggest that Dave work on to make this even better?
Cool.
If you're listening to this and you are an Icebreaker user, why should we use it? I would love to hear that below in the comments, Dave. Tell us what you're hearing. What kind of feedback are you hearing from people that use it? It sounds awesome.
I was just in, I was just in London this weekend, actually. You know, I live in Nashville, so it was kind of a whirlwind trip. But I love that community out there that I just, you know, went out there for. I got an award, which is cool. The most committed award, which I think being here and flying out there a couple times, you know, probably helped.
That's awesome.
But anyway, we used it and I had a video from someone. I always take a testimonial at the event and it got erased somehow. It didn't back up. But what she was saying was referencing our pre-event, during event, and after event,
utility.
Functionality.
Yeah.
So the utility of it, I call it event PDA, pre-event, during event, after event. So before the event, people get a link and they kind of cascade into the event page and then you can see who's there. Now, when you show up, so you can message people and see who's coming and stuff. But when you show up, then it has that proximity based scenario. So, you know, not everybody who's registered actually arrives.
Right.
But then as you're walking to the coffee station or somewhere else, it'll shuffle the people who are nearby you to the top. And then if you have a keyword in there, right? So I'm looking for event host, speakers, podcast hosts. So that'll buzz me. And I'll, you know, if I'm nearby somebody, that's that. And then I take a look. So that's the during event benefit, right? And Todd. And I walk over and say, hey, Todd, I'm Dave Castro. I'd love to meet you. I think you might be a podcast host, right? You're on the Icebreaker app. And then after the event, a bunch of people from that London event are in the Icebreaker app catching up with people that they didn't have time to get to, right? The hourglass runs out of sand. Now what? And so they're able to go back and say, hey, you know what? I saw you. I didn't get a chance to chat, blah, blah, blah. So
I am so glad you're here. And I just wanted to take a few seconds to tell you about a program that we have assembled with a lot of our podcast guests and a lot of people who are listening to the show who are feeling the same way that they do. There's a recurring theme. You'll hear a lot of these founders talk about, I couldn't have done it without my team. I couldn't have done it without a support group of peers. I couldn't have done it without having someone to talk to that understood my feeling of isolation as an operator of my business. You see, you're not alone. It is hard running a business, and it's even harder when you know you can't express all your deepest concerns and frustrations with your executive team. It makes them nervous. It gets them scared. You don't want scared people on your executive team. So where do you turn? The Captain's Council is where you turn. The Captain's Council, it is an organization that we are put together with podcast guests, as well as people who are listening who are in the same boat. You see, peers are the only ones that can give you the type of empathy, the type of advice that only a founder or operator know and understand. Go check it out at captainscouncil.com. I know you're gonna love what you see there. We have put together an organizational structure that has small group settings, a global community of founders and operators, as well as monthly and quarterly in-person events. You're gonna love what you see there. I can't wait for you to check it out and enjoy the rest of this episode. I love it. Okay, that's really cool. That is actually really, really cool. So now we know the business. We know the model. We know who you're helping. This is clearly an in-demand solution, because there is nothing more frustrating than going to an event and walking away with no leads or connections or referral partners or whoever it is you're looking for.
Right.
It's kind of frustrating. So take a step back. Dave, tell us what has been one of the key decisions that you've made thus far in getting bigger adoption. Like what has been the turning point? Maybe a change in the protocol, maybe a change in who you're delivering it to. Like, what is it that you've done to help gain the traction you need to get to where you're at today?
So I think one of the things that we've done is just improve the streamlined. It's all about like ease of getting in. Now, right now, right. You click a button, you click a link, and it'll suck you all the way through the process and drop you into the event page.
Nice.
So, and ideally, if you sign in, you know, sign in with LinkedIn and stuff like that, but you get a link and it'll just, you know, take you to the appropriate app store, the same right. link. It'll take you to the appropriate app store and then drop you into the event page. And so that's probably been our biggest win so far on the journey.
Love it.
You know, there's so many plans that I have and things that I know that I want to tweak for streamline intuitiveness is the key. Conceptually, right. We got it nailed. So just, you know, improving the user intuitiveness, and that's going to drop here in March probably.
Nice.
I have it all sketched out and they're working on it. So
just in time for the summer season, huh?
Yes.
I like it. Okay, so I gotta know, like, that obviously is a huge ease of entry into the portal, ease of entry the software is ultimately what you want to adopt more users. Are you seeing event hosts adopting it more? Are you seeing like how many people are saying, holy crap, that was awesome. I want to have this in my event. I'm coming up pretty soon. Like, how are you getting traction that way? I'm curious from user base.
I appreciate that. To be honest with you, you know, oftentimes the folks who, you know, have a quirk or find a bug or whatever might be the loudest. You know, those might be the people that the event host hears from or remembers or whatever.
Right.
I have a ton of fantastic testimonials and stuff like that.
I love it.
You know, from event, I've had several positive testimonials on video from an event, and I think the event host is like, meh. Yeah. So, you know, and the event hosts are so busy and stuff. Oftentimes,
yeah.
They're not in the app themselves. So,
right.
And that's fine. That's for me, that's just, okay, how can I continue to make this better and better of an experience?
Cool.
And serve the event host. I feel like dialed in. It's just a matter. Sometimes I feel like I'm pushing, you know, my development project through a straw, you know, nothing derogatory to my developers at all. I'm just saying that's how it feels.
Nailing the adoption pattern is always a tough one. You know what I mean?
So it's just a matter of just, you know, picking the priority, just prioritizing and moving forward. And I've got a lot of believers and
love it.
Again, a lot of testimonials. So and then repeat event hosts. That to is maybe my biggest KPI, is if the host wants us back. You know, they get it, and they benefit. They see their attendees benefit, and they want it back. If it's like a meh, you know, experience, and you know, that's probably not. I'm not really that excited about it either. I want folks who are super excited.
Love it. Tell us about the biggest challenges, because I mean, anytime you're developing a new product and you're solving a problem that really hasn't been addressed completely by anybody, I don't think.
You're right. You know,
I just don't see any awesome solutions out there. And so like, this is a big problem that needs to be solved. What challenges have you hit though? Like, what's been your biggest pushback? Is there something that's happened that made you take a step back and go, oh, whoops, we should probably do it this way?
Dude, you like, sometimes when I have these conversations, I get this like, want to jump out of my skin feeling, like just that, like, I want to go so much faster. I want to be so much, you know, further along. Totally. And so, but you know, definitely had to get through a couple development groups in the beginning.
Right.
One, just to find somebody who, you know, kind of said, hey, I think at the time the concept that I have with Icebreaker now was contact tracing is what they did during the COVID thing.
Right.
Uses some of the same tech. And people got millions of dollars to build that stuff.
Totally.
Okay. So what we were doing with Icebreaker was definitely cutting edge. And so to find somebody to get that was one thing, and then get the right quality and so on. So that has been the biggest challenge, really. Like I said, like feeling like I'm pushing the vision through a straw, but again, it's just one thing, you know, just one step in front of the other. Conceptually, we got it. I think, you know, vision wise, we got it nailed.
Love it. So vision wise, you got the money? Nailed. Yeah. Right. Totally.
That would help.
And that is a problem. I mean, to be honest, let's face it. Most of us who develop a product like what you're doing, you know, money is a big factor. How much can I spend on a dev team? How much, you know, when you're measuring who to work with and who's going to catch my vision, sometimes it's hard if the budget's not big enough to attract those guys that are really capable of understanding the real need. But I would imagine, though, with this type of product, I mean, really, anyone that's ever been to a trade show or a community event or even an industry event, you've got to feel like you walked away with some good connection. Otherwise, why did you go? I mean, it's not always for the training.
Exactly. It's a game changer for, and do you realize how many events happen that are like less than 1,000, like we talk about trade shows and conferences and stuff, you know, let's just throw out the number at 1,000. Okay. That qualifies in a lot of people's mind as a conference or whatever. If it's under that, you know, whatever. Every single one of those is an icebreaker, you know, diamond mined.
Totally.
Every single one of those. That's just globally huge value.
It's a good target. There's a lot of events going on all the time. So you've definitely got a large pool to fish in. I love it. So tell me about you're now going to see other people who are in a development phase where they're having a hard time selecting that right group. Any advice to people who are in the 10 steps behind you right now? What would you tell them going into their first or second relationship with a dev team about how to find the right group?
It's really challenging, to be honest with you, because there's the ones that you really want are going to be expensive. the ones that have built the reputation, the credibility, and the trust, and the, you know, the work product, right, that you can point to.
Right.
Those are the people that keep getting the work, and they keep raising their prices. So, but besides that, that's really the, you know, not just a referral, but a referral from somebody who is a technical expert. And then also, I am not really, I'm not a coder, so I really can't read code.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I do have guys who will do the interview of the developers and then also look at the code, you know, for me and so on, just to make sure. So those are some of the things I would say. The vibe is absolutely 100% huge too. Like you gotta fit with them. Otherwise, you know, the communication is so critical. You gotta be able to communicate with them regularly.
I gotta think too, when you're talking about an app that is utilized for socializing, and we all know that most dev guys are not the most social people. Chances are you're going to have to work a little bit to find someone who is a social person and a coder to be able to give you the product you need at the rate you need. And with the delivery of a product that's like, hey, this is for people who are actually out there. You know, think like someone who's actually out there connecting with people, right? That's tricky.
Yeah. Some of them have like literally just they don't have a concept of what I'm trying to get to. So now that's this group. You know, my guys do, but
awesome.
But yes, you're right. Spot on that.
Awesome. Well, tell me about, everyone I talk to who's built and grown a business, they tend to have, everyone's got someone that they turn to for advice, or they lean on a group, or maybe there's just someone who inspires you to kind of keep pushing through this development. Is there someone like that you'd like to give a shout out to in this interview that's kind of been there for you?
I love that, man. You know, I have a daddy daughter date every week, and I go and I grab three of my girls, and my daughters. I have five daughters. One is in college, and the other is super busy. She's amazing. Equestrian, actually trains.
Oh, awesome!
And competes. Yeah. But my Addie, Haley, and Harper, we pile in and go grab dinner and ice cream, and they're just so much fun, man. We're so tight. I love
them.
Yeah,
I got three. They're definitely encouraging. Myself.
It's definitely that breath of fresh air. You know, the wind beneath my wings.
All right, let's not get too cheesy. Yes, cringy. Yes. That's okay. You're a good dad if you can talk cheesy on air. I get it. no, dude, listen, it's definitely, daughters are inspiring, and you want to be the best example you can for them so that they find the right husband, right? I mean, you want to train them to think this is how a good guy treats you, right?
Yep. 100%.
Well, yep. This has been really fun. I honestly love the shout out to the daughters. I love your story. I love what you're doing. And for those of you who haven't done so already, go check it out. It's ICEBREKR. Is it .com?
ICEBREKR.com. That's right. Just the first two E's.
There we go.
Those are the only vowels. ICEBREKR.com. Actually, and if you want to hit the /demo, and that'll drop you into a demo environment, and it'll give you some freebie as well.
Love it. Well, we're going to put links to that down below. And for those that haven't done so already, make sure you connect with Dave, find out what he's up to. And honestly, the best help you could give to Dave, I'm guessing, is every event you're going to, ask the event coordinator, hey, are you guys using Icebreaker at this event?
Absolutely. That'd be great.
Dave, is that the right thing?
Love to support me. Yeah, I'd love to help him out. 100%. And if you download it, please give me some stars on the app stores. That would be helpful.
Love it. Well, we are all out there trying to grow and scale our businesses, and we all know that things like that do help each other out. So please go ahead and do that. Dave, thank you so much for taking the time to be on with us today. And for those listening, make sure you check back on Dave, what he's up to, and also listen to that next episode. There may be that helpful hint you've been looking for on what you need to do next in your growth journey. thanks so much for being here. Dave, thanks again, man.
Thanks a lot, Todd.
Hey, I hope you liked that episode. Dave is a super stud. I love people like him who are developing cool products that help me out. I hate walking away from a trade show without the right people, and he makes it easier. Problem, solution, business, big growth scale, love it. It's a beautiful thing. If you're in a business that is growing and scaling or need to grow and scale, there's a good chance you don't really understand all the levers of growth that you have available to you. And this is a problem. We talk about these solutions and the levers of growth that you might need to be latching onto in your growth journey. We do this not only through workshops and trainings, but also through our Captain's Council. There is something magical about connecting with other founders. You might have seen some energy today as Dave and I were conversing back and forth with each other, bouncing ideas off each other. Our post-interview conversation was even better. I probably should have recorded it. But we had some great, great inspo come to both of us about our products, how we develop it, how we work it. And this is something really fascinating that I wish you could be a part of. You can. CaptainsCouncil.com. Go check it out. It's where we put together groups of CEOs and founders and even chief officers who are in charge of growth for their business. Come on in. We have a home for you. We have a place for you in an environment where you can connect with 8 to 10 other CEOs, founders, or growth leaders in your organization and start to learn the things you need to be thinking about in order to pull more levers of growth in your business. Check it out, CaptainsCouncil.com. Can't wait to see you there. And thanks for being part of our episode. We'll see you on the next one.